Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday, December 5th, 2024, in the first week of Advent. Hope you're doing well and having a beautiful day. We've got a great show lined up for you this morning. Thanks to Eric Dumont at Ave Maria Radio, working behind the scenes in Ann Arbor, running things this morning because my producer, Andrew Kuchik, has the day off. Appreciate it, Eric. And we always want to thank those who work behind the scenes with us, both at Ave and EWTN and all of our affiliates, because they keep us on the air and keep things running smoothly. Can never say enough about our crews. It's really, really important to recognize them. Okay, Father Mitch knows that. He's at EWTN and has been there for years, and he joins us every Thursday with his cultural connections. We have a lot to discuss this morning. We're going to take a look at the Jubilee year, some beautiful comments from the Holy Father that you hear in the newscast coming up, talking about making this a time to really open up our lives to Christ and how we can use, especially right now, Advent as a time of preparation for that. So we'll discuss. Also want to get his take on some other issues that are happening, some big stories nationally, and how we respond to those as Catholics, if we have time. We shall see. And then Steve Ray, author, speaker, convert, and fearless pilgrimage leader, will be joining us at 39 minutes past the hour, taking a look at the country of Poland as an example how a nation can hold on to its Catholic faith. Now, Steve and I have been together on many, many pilgrimages to Poland, and I was also blessed to have three books published in Polish. And one of my publishers, Ignatius Press, a Polish publisher, bought the rights to Extreme Makeover, which they can do. And they brought me over, this Polish publishing company, to do a tour several years ago, a book tour. And it was quite an experience, and I learned so much more about the Polish people and their faith. It's just incredible. And if you've never been to Poland, you need to put it on your bucket list. It is just a beautiful country. It's just gorgeous. And the churches, I mean, they do rival Italy. And I'm saying this as someone who lives half the year in Italy. I mean, it's just the people there, too, are so amazing. And you can tell that they've been through a lot, but that they are optimistic because of their faith. So we'll discuss with Steve Ray and compare it to what's going on in our world and our country right now, especially after the election. So Steve Ray joins us at 39 minutes past the hour. Let's take a quick look at the weather before we dive into the news. A lot of stories there as well. National Weather Service is telling us on a Thursday we have a powerful Arctic cold front that will sweep across the mid-Atlantic and the Northeast, and that will happen today. We have snow squalls along this front that will be accompanied by some heavy snowfall or some snow squalls again and gusty winds, producing dangerous travel conditions due to whiteouts and icy roads. We had huge problems here in Michigan over the weekend. We had the same thing. We had a ton of accidents. Wind gusts up to 80 miles per hour spreading into the central Appalachians, mid-Atlantic, and Northeast. Now, the good news is it looks like it's going to warm up next week in parts of the country, including the Midwest. So that is your forecast on a Thursday and your rundown, as we say in the biz. It's already almost 4 minutes past the hour. And this program brought to you by our friends at House of Joppa, houseofjoppa.com. Let's get started with the news, shall we? The Supreme Court appears inclined to uphold a Tennessee law banning transgender drugs or surgeries for minors. The High Court heard arguments yesterday on Tennessee's ban in the state, a measure signed by the governor, Bill Lee.
We really should not be performing life-altering, permanent procedures on children that have such enormous implications for their life.
Lee explaining that other countries have changed course and realized the serious fallout from the procedures, adding the negative research outweighs any positive research.
Countries across the world change their view on this and ban these procedures in Europe and in 20 states in America. So it really is about the protection of children.
Legal experts say the conservative majority appears ready to let the law remain in place and leave future debates up to state lawmakers. The law was challenged by the federal government under President Biden, a decision in the case expected next summer. And Pope Francis says jubilees are precious times for taking stock of our lives, both as individuals and as communities. As Devin Watkins reports from the Vatican, the Holy Father offering that invitation yesterday as he met with Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth to celebrate their 150th anniversary for their foundation.
He prayed that this milestone in the congregation's life may spur them to be spiritually renewed so that they might better serve the Lord and His people. The Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth were founded in 1875 and serve in 140 communities in 14 countries, according to their website. The Pope noted that the congregation's 150th anniversary celebrations begin with Advent, calling the liturgical season a time of patient and hope-filled expectancy in the Lord's promises. I pray, he said, that your celebrations will help the members of your congregation to grow in contemplative trust in the incarnate Son of God, especially in the Blessed Sacrament and in the people you serve. Pope Francis added that all jubilees are opportunities for reflection, recollection, and listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. Through hearts open to the Lord and to a genuine personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, he prayed, may your communities always be thresholds through which those families that are the focus of your charism can find refuge, hope, and peace in Christ. The Pope went on to recall the many contemporary families who are ravaged by war or forced to flee their homes or even homelands. He urged the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth to always perform spiritual and corporal works of mercy. May your prayer and practical works of charity always reflect the love of Jesus, concluded Pope Francis, so that you may be signs of hope to those experiencing hardships of any kind.
Big story we're following out of New York City, and there's now growing speculation about why the CEO of America's largest health insurance company, as Sarah Lee Kessler tells us, was murdered in New York City yesterday morning in what police say was most likely a targeted attack.
Video shows Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare's insurance division, gunned down outside the Midtown Hilton Hotel by a man wearing a ski mask and dressed in black.
He ignores numerous other pedestrians, approaches the victim from behind, and shoots him in the back.
NYPD Chief of Detectives Joe Kenny says the gunman, who fled the scene on a city bike, was waiting for him when he arrived for an investors' conference. Thompson's wife told NBC News her husband had been getting threats. The motive, she said, I don't know, a lack of coverage?
New evidence, meanwhile, suggesting the suspect who killed UnitedHealthcare CEO Thompson yesterday may have left a message behind on the bullet casings at the scene. Police sources now telling the New York Post words denied, depose, and defend were written on the live rounds and casings left behind by the assassin after the shooting. Evidence also shows each bullet and casing had just one word written on it, leading them to believe again that he may have been trying to leave a message. Scott Pringle tells us there's no verdict in the trial yet of a Marine veteran accused in a New York City subway situation.
The jury is getting a refresher on some of the evidence presented at trial. Daniel Penny is accused of manslaughter, negligent homicide, and the death of Jordan Neely on a subway train last year. During deliberations, jurors asked to see Penny's interview with police after the chokehold death. They also requested police body cam footage of the encounter and bystander video. Penny's lawyers say the chokehold did not directly cause Neely's death and that Penny was just protecting subway riders with Neely threatening them. Prosecutors say Penny held the nearly six-minute chokehold way too long and knew it was a risk to Neely's life.
President-elect Trump is tapping Paul Atkins to lead the Securities and Exchange Commission. Atkins has served as co-chair of a crypto advocacy group since 2017. Trump writing on Truth Social, Paul is a proven leader for common sense regulations. The announcement comes as a price of one Bitcoin officially hit $100,000 on Wednesday for the first time ever. Mark Mayfield tells us, meanwhile, President-elect Trump's first network interview since the election will be this Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press.
The network says the interview with show moderator Kristen Welker will be taped Friday, then air Sunday morning. Clips of the interview will be released prior to the show. Welker interviewed Trump for NBC News in September of 2023, which ended up being his only network sit-down during the 2024 presidential campaign.
The House Department of Government Efficiency Caucus has its first Democratic member after it was announced yesterday that South Florida Congressman Jared Moskowitz would be joining the group. Republican Senator Rick Scott says the Department of Government Efficiency is greatly needed.
We're spending 40% more than we take in revenues every year. We've had a 2% increase in population in 5 years and a 55% increase in spending. This is not sustainable.
Scott comparing the Department of Government Efficiency to what he did as Florida's governor, coming in with a bloated budget and balancing it. He will be in the U.S. House chambers as a caucus meets with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, who have been picked by President-elect Trump to lead that department. Mitt Romney saying goodbye to the Senate as his six-year term comes to an end. He gave a farewell address on the U.S. Senate floor yesterday. He reflected on his term and highlighted his success, passing several bipartisan measures. Many of his fellow lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, also delivered remarks celebrating his tenure in the Senate. Romney, a one-time Republican presidential nominee who ran against former President Barack Obama back in 2012, was elected to represent Utah back in 2018. And a shocker for the Democratic Party out of Michigan, Detroit's Mayor Mike Duggan, running for governor of Michigan in 2026, but not as a Democrat, as an independent. Zach Gorchow of Gongwer News Service in Michigan says he was shocked that Duggan won't run as a Democrat and says the implications are huge.
It's definitely going to force a real reckoning, I think, on the Democratic side, because now they're faced with the prospect of an independent Mike Duggan being on the November ballot.
Duggan has served as the Motor City's mayor as a Democrat, but says he thinks he can be more successful without a party label leading the state. He says we need a political system that isn't so personal and toxic that it strains your relationships with your friends or even your family members. Ford Motor Company already issuing an endorsement a few hours after the announcement. The last time someone who was not a Democrat or Republican being governor in Michigan was in 1841. And the search for a woman believed to have fallen through a sinkhole and into an old mine in Pennsylvania, now considered a recovery effort. State Police Trooper Steve Lamani says searchers were able to gain access to the mine, but had to back out after it became unstable.
We're not quitting. We are going to continue to work through this. It's taken longer than we thought, and that the mine is just not in good condition.
He also says crews have not found any signs of life and that it's unlikely 64-year-old Elizabeth Pollard will be rescued unless, he said, there's a miracle. Officials believe she fell into the sinkhole while looking for her cat Monday night. Hours later, her vehicle was found near a restaurant about 30 miles southeast of Pittsburgh with her 5-year-old granddaughter inside, unharmed. A lawsuit filed over the hazing death of a Virginia Commonwealth University student is now being settled.
This kind of death is a tragic loss that should never happen, but it does happen. It will continue to happen, and it illustrates the importance of parents teaching their children about the dangers of alcohol.
That's legal analyst Steve Benjamin. Adam Oaks' family suing the National Delta Chi fraternity and 11 members after their son died 3 years ago of alcohol poisoning during a hazing incident while pledging for the fraternity. Oaks was a 19-year-old freshman, the family settling last month for over $4 million. Airline execs facing tough questions from senators over high prices and extra fees charged to travelers. In a hearing on Wednesday, lawmakers expressing frustration at the additional costs for things such as bags and seat choice, accusing the airlines of making billions from these charges.
Nobody enjoys flying on your airlines. It's a disaster. You charge people fees that they know nothing about. You harass them to death.
That's Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley. Some senators called the fees junk charges and criticized airlines for harassing customers with hidden fees. Senators are calling for a review of charging practices in the airlines and potential fines for the companies. And despite three hurricanes hitting Florida this year, insurers are starting to give homeowners breaks. Citizens Property Insurance CEO Tim Cerrero says dozens of private companies are not asking for premium increases this year, and 15 are actually offering decreases.
Existing companies are expanding their writings in Florida, and there have been several national companies that have affirmed their commitment to Florida following the reform, the legislative reforms, USAA, Progressive, and State Farm.
He is also firing back at reports that it has denied a majority of claims. He admits that of the more than 73,000 claims filed after Hurricanes Debbie, Helene, and Milton, nearly 32,000 have been closed without payment. Of those, about 40% did not meet the deductible. Other damage was caused by floods, which is not covered, for example, by Citizens Insurance. But to ensure public trust, he is asking the chief of internal audit to audit hurricane claims, denials, and closures, and also offering recommendations. And finally, in our news segment, at almost 15 minutes past the hour on a Thursday morning, December 5th, American students and their math scores, well, they're slipping in comparison to students in other countries. The scores plunging since the pandemic, the trends in international mathematics and science studies showing eighth graders' math scores dipping 27 points from 2019 to 2023, the biggest drop since the U.S. began administering the test in 1995. It is a Thursday, and that means Father Mitch Pacwa was up next from EWTN, and he joins us for our Culture Connections. We'll be right back.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe. Daily Mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Back, Catholic Connection. Great to be with you on a Thursday morning. And it's Thursday. That means we have our cultural connections with the one, the only, Father Mitch Baca. Father, how are you this morning? God love you. Happy Advent.
Well, I'm better for talking to you. Happy Advent to you.
All right. So we are in Advent, which is a time of anticipation and preparation. But I wanted to get your take on maybe looking at this Advent as a great way to prepare for the beautiful Jubilee year that will begin as the Holy Father opens the holy doors on Christmas Eve. Because I think, you know, with Advent, it's a little bit different than Lent. I don't think it's as structured, obviously, as Lent. We know it's a time of preparation and reflection, but I think it would be great if we could maybe think about doing some spiritual exercises that would help us into the Jubilee year.
Let me make a couple points about that. It is structured a different way than Lent, to be sure. But it's good to pay attention to the fact that we ended the liturgical year with Christ the King. And we heard texts about Christ the King coming to judge us at the end of time. And then the very next week, for the first Sunday of Advent that begins the school year, we had gospel readings and texts about the judgment at the end of time. In other words, the liturgical year begins with the last judgment and ends with the last judgment. And this is very significant for understanding the nature of Advent. We commemorate the birth of Jesus. And we do that with these 4 weeks, each week symbolizing 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. Because in that period before Christ, there were lots of prophecies, and then they got fulfilled. Even ones that would seem impossible by nature. They are impossible by nature. A child being born to a virgin. But also saying, when and where he's going to be born in Bethlehem and so on. That these are all prophetic texts. And we are looking at Advent with the sense, because Christ fulfilled the prophecies of the 4,000 years prior to his birth, and we celebrate that fulfillment, we can therefore go forward toward the end of time with the same confidence that his fidelity to come to us will also be the basis for his fidelity to come and judge the world. And the reason I want to emphasize that aspect that's in the readings for Advent is that this jubilee that begins on Christmas Eve, when Pope Francis will open the holy door at St. Peter's, a door that's closed except for jubilees. This is about a jubilee of hope, and that we are looking to have hope. Hope must be distinguished from optimism. Optimism is not at all the same thing as hope. Optimism is based on various human ideas of what could be or should be, or what we devise. Hope is a virtue that is given to us by God's grace, and it is based on the promises of God, not on the plans of human beings. And so, just as Advent is all oriented towards this hope for the second coming of Christ, not only our judgment, but we have hope that because of also our faith, God will be merciful to us. He will be that perfect and infinite combination of justice and mercy, not one or the other. And this is something that gives us hope in God, not in, well, you know, if I do enough good things, I can buy God's love and buy my way into heaven. No, you can't. Sorry. Thank you for playing. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that. It is God's gift. And we live, as a matter of fact, I would say much of modern history is characterized by rejecting faith in God and thereby rejecting the hope of what God promises. And instead, you see one philosopher after another, whether it's from the French Revolution with the philosophes with their ideas, or Marx or Hitler or all these other philosophers, they keep coming up with all these great plans to make a paradise on earth by human ability. And when they collapse, as they all have, and instead they create hell on earth, but, you know, the more power they get, the more hellish they make the earth. Then they go towards depression, sadness, and cynicism. And this jubilee of hope is saying, look, even though I may not see everything that God planned, I trust that he will fulfill this, and I will be part of that fulfillment, because even if I die way before the second coming of Christ, he will be more faithful to me than I am to him, and that is my hope. And so I would connect the jubilee of hope that's starting this Christmas Eve with the season of Advent as giving us a basis for hope in God rather than human plans.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned that, because if you look at the gospel for today, talking about having your home built on the rock versus on sand, it talks about that specifically. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. Father, we see a lot of things that are really imploding. We're looking, for example, I did a second interview with Dr. Matthew Petrusik from the Word on Fire Institute yesterday regarding DEI and how so many companies now are pulling out of that and realizing that it's
100%.
Yeah, it's causing them problems. And that really, I think, is the example. You talk about the government trying to make this perfect world. It was reverse discrimination, and it just wreaked havoc in these companies.
There's a book by an economist named Gasparino. He's one of your paisans from New York.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Well, the reason I do mention that is if you read it, be alert that he talks like a New Yorker. So there's a lot of bad words. Because New Yorkers use bad words like punctuation. But
all right, well, hold on. Wait, we've got to take a break. Hold that thought, and we'll be back. Sorry, I was so ingrained in the conversation, involved in the conversation, I forgot that we have a hard break. I did that yesterday, too. It's because I have such great guests like you. All right, we'll be right back. 25 minutes past the hour. More with Father Mitch Pacwa on our Cultural Connections.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Is there a universal call to prayer? The Catholic Catechism tells us man is in search of God. God, in the act of creation, called every being into existence from nothingness. Even after man sinned and lost his likeness to God, he remained an image of his Creator and never lost his desire for the one who called him into existence. All religions attest to man's essential search for God. The Catechism points out, however, that God calls us first to that mysterious encounter, prayer. God always initiates. Man's first step in the process is to respond. Prayer is a reciprocal call. Throughout the whole history of salvation, the covenant drama unfolds. The revelation of prayer in the Old Testament comes between the fall and the restoration of man. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
28 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. It's a Thursday. Every Thursday we talk to the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN to get his take on cultural connections, actually. So, Father, continue. We were interrupted by the satellite break because
I
wasn't paying attention.
I was mentioning this fellow Gasparino because he wrote a book called Go Woke, Go Broke.
Mm-hmm.
And again, though he uses a lot of very bad language, you know, the bad language that we're getting accustomed to in this culture, it's significant that he is also, speaking about the very issue you're talking about. And this was a hope. Well, if we just go woke on some of this stuff and we just are doing all this charming stuff, then everybody will be happy and, you know, and there'll be justice and peace and joy and all that stuff. And that's not the case. And what's happening instead is this other sense of total collapse of the businesses that do that. Why? Because it's what you said. There is this sense of, you know, if you go woke, that you are going to be bigoted against other people. You are going to do things contrary to what's good for your company just because you are trying to satisfy some people. And frankly, this is one of the things that I've noticed over the years. No matter how much you try to adapt and make things go well for the people who are asking you to go woke, it won't work. They never are happy. You cannot make them happy. That's the flat out reality, no matter what it is you do for them. And I've seen this in so many circumstances, and I just see them as being unable to be satisfied. They just can't. You just can't. And so you have to pay attention to that. And because you can't satisfy them, they keep changing the game.
Right. And they keep moving the line, so to speak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In this inability to make them happy, they'll keep changing the rules because you're never doing enough of what they want. And this is not healthy for for business or for government or for individual citizens. This is it's just a black hole of space, that just becomes its own gravitational center that absorbs all light within itself. This is not healthy.
Do you think, Father, because there's a lot of efforts out there right now, University of Michigan here in my neighborhood in southeastern Michigan is discussing pulling away from DEI, and they had one of the biggest efforts, a big push for DEI the last couple of years. Ford Motor Company, Walmart, and others are all looking at this again and backing away from DEI. It's like almost every other day we're seeing another headline, whether it's from a business outlet or just from general news agencies. Do you think this is just a sign that they're just doing this to, because of the current seems to be, the climate seems to be changing a little bit? Or do you think this is serious because they're realizing they've got a break here because of the way the country voted and they can make these changes? Because the companies really are struggling with this. I mean, if they've lost so much money, it hasn't helped.
100%. And I really do think this has a lot to do with the failure of the DEI agenda. And it also has a lot to do with it serves to make people kind of ignorant. It doesn't help them think more carefully. That's important. If you are not going to use the DEI or any other policy to make yourself more successful in, and not just in making money, that's not the point. The point is that you have to make yourself successful in terms of good goals that are worthy of human life. You see the Supreme Court case where I don't understand Justice Sotomayor. I don't know if you saw her comment that the kind of medical treatment that you get for transgender assignment is kind of like what you would get for from an aspirin. Are you nuts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's nothing to do with anything like an aspirin at all. And so why are you even thinking like that? But they're making themselves dumb. And you don't really have to. The realities say, and here's one of the other issues, too. a lot of people are using or in favor of what's going on with transgender because they don't want anybody to feel bad, and they don't want people to suffer from dysphoria. Good. I don't want them to suffer from it either. But here's the reality. You are killing them. This is not like an aspirin. You don't die from aspirin. Of course, if you take an overdose. But the normal treatment of somebody for the gender reassignment is deadly. Deadly.
Yeah, it is. And it also creates a dependency, which is a big part of the reason they push it so much, I believe, on all kinds of future surgeries and increased medications. It's never ending.
Well, see, I think there are some people who would create that kind of dependency. Excuse me.
Bless you.
They would create that kind of dependency because... they do make money on it. There are people in medicine. I remember that was said by the head of the department at Vanderbilt University, my own alma mater, that they will make, doing the gender reassignment will pay for the whole department's budget. Thank you for playing, but no, this is not acceptable. And so they, that's one reason. But other reasons, people want folks to feel freedom to do as they wish. They don't want to force them to do anything. That's why a lot of people support it.
Father, thank you so much. Look forward to our continued discussion, God willing, next week on Thursday. Father Mitch Pacwa, of course, needs no introduction from EWTN. We'll be right back.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This strange beatitude reminds us that Jesus is challenging us with his ways to heaven on a new exodus. We're leaving behind the Egypt of this world to find the eternal paradise of heaven. When we tend to think of happiness, we tend to think of it in a self-centered way, a possession of a temporary good or passing fancy. But Jesus is calling us into eternal happiness. And actually, morality is a search for happiness, says Dominican priest Servais Pinkers. We're looking to be happy, and a lot of times we end up at dead-end roads that don't lead us to where we want to go. How can we be blessed when we mourn? In sorrow and difficulty, hardship and cross, we are called closer to Jesus. It's God's fingerprint in our heart reminding us that we're made for eternal happiness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Minutes past the hour. That's the theme music for our regular guest, Steve Ray, author, speaker, evangelist, convert, and fearless pilgrimage leader. Steve, I love the discussion that you're proposing today, especially if we think about today's December 5th. The election was a month ago, and so there's a lot of good things that happened in terms of people saying, nah, sorry, things have gone too crazy, you've gone too far, we have to get back to somewhat in the center. And I think about the importance of faith in all this, the prayers of the people, and it reminds me, and this is the whole point for our conversation, of the country of Poland. You and I have led pilgrimages there many times. It's an incredible place of faith. Let's talk about that in comparison to what we're seeing in the world right now. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Teresa. Yeah, I've been to Poland a lot. In fact, the first time I went was in 1985 when it was still under the Soviet Union. And hopefully we'll get, I'll get a few minutes to talk to you about that. But Poland has kind of bucked the system over the last decade or so and has stayed very Catholic. And there's a reason for that I want to talk about, too. How did they stay Catholic? It has to do with the microphone in front of you right now, and that it relates to that. But Poland has stayed Catholic and kept their sanity. They don't let a lot of Muslims and others coming in. They're keeping their country Catholic. They don't want to have the culture change, the fabric of their culture change. They're Polish and they want to stay Polish and they want to stay Catholic. And you know, around the world, other countries have just collapsed. They've gone woke, liberal. They're just open the borders. And we can see the result of that in much of Europe, and we're beginning to see the result of that here. And since the election, it's interesting for me to watch, I'm sure you are too, that a lot of the world is kind of on their heels making adjustments now because there's going to be a new president here and he's not like the old president. And people are having to make some big adjustments. And I think that the people, that the average person in the world is starting to get courage to speak up against all the liberal, leftist, wokeist, communist mentality that's going on, and I think it's a very healthy thing. And Poland has been on the cutting edge of that, criticized, Poland and Hungary, by the way, have been criticized by many countries and many politicians for their stand on these things, but they're looking pretty smart about now.
So what can we learn from Poland in all of this, do you think?
Well, I'm going to take you back a little bit of time because when we take the pilgrimage there in April, we're going to be visiting the Immaculata, city of Immaculata with Maximilian Kolbe. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the groundbreaking pioneers of radio. And I remember when I took Al Cresta there, God rest his soul, and he sat in the chair where Maximilian Kolbe sat when he was broadcasting his Catholic radio station across Poland and Central Europe. I think that the reason that Poland stayed Catholic is partly because of that, because he also published millions of tracts and flyers all about the Catholic faith, and he did Catholic radio, what you're doing right now. He is a predecessor. You are following his footprints, Teresa. So when you're sitting in front of a microphone right now, you're doing what he got started back in the 40s. And because of his efforts of Catholic radio, spreading that gospel, he catechized Poland. And because of the print material that he sent out, he educated and catechized the Polish people so well that when the Nazis marched across their border and brought that kind of a totalitarian fascism into the country, they survived it. And then as soon as that was over, the Soviet Union came in with their godless atheism, communism, and then Poland was crushed under that for another 20 or 30 years. But they survived as Catholics, and I think it had a lot to do with Maximilian Kolbe's catechizing them so well in advance. And by the way, Teresa, that's exactly what you're doing. You're catechizing, you and Ave Maria Radio, you're catechizing our country along with all the other EWTN and so on. And so that if and when our country goes through really, really bad times, the Catholics, us, we will be able to stand because of what you're doing now with radio. You are catechizing and training and teaching it. Now, I get it. One more thing I'll say is that when we went to, in 2017, I took a busload of people to Germany, mostly East Germany. We followed the footprints of Martin Luther. And we argued with him the whole way because it was the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's rebellion against the Catholic Church. So we went everywhere he was, where he's born, lived, everything, and we argued with him along the way. And the guide in East Germany said to the people, Germany has lost its faith. It's lost its Christianity. It's going very secular, very atheistic. And the reason for that is because of Soviet communism. When they took over, they pushed atheism on us, and that's why we're that way today. And I grabbed the microphone. You know me, and you and I are both the same. If the guide says something wrong, we're going to correct it. So I grabbed the microphone, and I said, I can't let you get away with that, with this group of mine. I said, the reason that there is atheism in Germany today is because of Martin Luther. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? I said, we have a saying in America, united we stand and divided we fall. And what happened under Luther is he broke the Catholic Church up, and it broke into segments and sections and sects and denominations. And you divided it up. He divided it up so that when the pressure came, they had no unity to stand, and they collapsed. Poland, on the other hand, I said to her, Poland, on the other hand, stayed Catholic. They didn't let that division come into the church. They stayed faithful to the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So when the pressure came, they were prepared for it. And when the Soviets are gone, the Nazis are gone, guess what? Poland is still a Catholic nation because it stayed unified and it had a base of unity and resistance. That's why Poland is Catholic today and your country is atheistic. She said, I never heard anything like that before. She said, you're right.
So what does that say, do you think, in terms of, we were talking during the break, it's 1 month since the election, and there are a lot of Catholics who are praying, there are a lot of people who are going door-to-door, pro-lifers and different Catholic apostolates and joining us in our efforts to catechize, not telling people for whom to vote, but talking about the church teachings and what the catechism tells us about voting and how we're supposed to vote. What kind of impact do you think that had?
I think it's two things. I think that had a big impact, but I think even equal to that is the fact that Americans got tired of what they saw. They got tired of they saw our country going down the wrong road. When you're telling boys and girls in kindergarten and first grade that they can choose what they want to be, parents don't want that. Parents don't want to go to the grocery store and pay double the price for eggs and milk. They saw what was going on in our country. They saw the wokeness, the absolute insanity of the left and what they were doing. And so they voted contrary to that. And I think they voted loudly. They had a bullhorn when they said, we don't want this anymore. We're tired of it. And I think it's happening in Europe as well. I think there's a lot of countries in Europe, and look at Argentina. What happened in Argentina, their new president there, he's standing up and speaking out, and he's turning that country back around to sanity. I think European countries are doing that. Others are going to be slower. But I'm very proud of our country for standing up and bucking the system, bucking all the woke media that's trying to shove everything down our throat, don't give us a chance to say the other side. But see, Catholic radio, again, I'm coming back to what you do, Teresa. Every day you're on the air, and you're promoting sanity, you're promoting morality, you're promoting common sense, and common sense is in short supply today in many ways.
I
think that all of the efforts of Christians and Catholic radio, not just Christians, but people of goodwill, and people just with common sense, a lot of people with kids, they don't want this stuff thrown at their kids. So they turned the tide, and I think it's for a very, very positive effect it's going to have.
Well, my prayer and hope is that those who are pushing these agendas will stop and think and reflect, and I haven't seen too much self-reflection lately.
No.
There's been a few people, but if you look at the big mouths in legacy media, which have lost the narrative, and that's what's driving them crazy, because they don't have the narrative, they can't control the narrative anymore. But I really pray that they stop and think about, well, what really happened? And even if they don't think about it from, let's say, a Christian perspective, because underlying this is truly stealth evangelization, what's been happening in terms of the reality, because everything that we look at, whether it be the transgenderism push or abortion or the whole economy and DEI, the Catholic Church has been way ahead of the game and has given us so much beauty in her teachings on all those issues, especially the dignity of the human person, economic balance and justice, and of course how we treat people in the workplace. All of those things are there in Catholic social teaching and beyond. And so my prayer is that they sit back and say, okay, what happened here? And maybe, and this is a tough thing, maybe what I believed in and I was pushing is wrong. because it takes a big person to sit there. Because I know when I went through, and you say this too, in your own conversion, Steve, it's hard to break away from your life that you've lived thinking that what you were doing was absolutely 100% correct. I went through then and thinking that, you know, I had to do this particular, I had to go down this particular avenue, and I bought into all the secular lies. And it's not easy to change. It's tough. But I'm hoping and praying that this will cause a real turnaround for some people.
I hope it does, too. And if for people that have any common sense, it should. But I think a lot of them are so steeped in their wokeness, I could say, or in their atheistic, communistic mentality. I can't believe, you know, that we, our generation, we watched the Iron Curtain fall. I never dreamed we'd ever hear or see of communism again, and now it's encroaching in our country again. And people don't call it that necessarily, but that's exactly all this racism and all this to try to divide people up into categories of rich and poor and black and white. Our country is not about division. Our country is about unity, and so is the Catholic Church. And it's just sad to see that, and who would have dreamed that we would ever see the Iron Curtain come down in our lifetime, but then who would ever dream they'd see those kind of communist mentality taking root in our country again? So I don't know that those people, it's their worldview, it's their religion. Abortion is their primary sacrament. These people love to have the atheistic, communistic, and worldview, and I think it's going to be very hard for them to change because they just think that we're a bunch of dumb country bumpkins that voted for Trump, that we're just ignorant and we didn't listen to them. They didn't convince us hard enough, and next time we got to be more convincing. I just think that it's going to be hard for them to change, just like you said. You know, we visited Poland when it was communist in 1985. Janet and I, we were at a Christian organization. We lived in Switzerland for a year, and they asked us if we would smuggle some books and Bibles and money into the Christians in Poland. And I wanted to go through the communist countries anyway, so we had our little car with suitcases on it. We stuffed all of the money and Bibles and books in the seat under the foam rubber in the dashboard. Our whole car was full of contraband, and we went through Checkpoint Charlie with the electric fences and the barking German shepherds and machine guns, and they funneled you in, and you couldn't go back. You once you got in that line through Checkpoint Charlie in East to go into East Berlin, you were stuck. And we watched them take the car in front of us for an hour. They took the dashboard out. They took the seats out. They were looking for contraband that was going from West Germany into the communist countries. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, we've got all of this stuff in our car. We're going to be in big trouble. When we got up there, we prayed, Lord, just make us invisible. They waved us through, and we drove through East Germany and into Poland, and we delivered all of those products that we had brought to them, and the Christians were so happy and so excited. But I remember in Poland at the time, nobody would look you in the eye. Everyone was oppressed. Mm. It was dark. It was scary. Even our motel room had audio. They had you could see in the lobby all the audio recorders. They were listening to everything people said in their rooms, and we knew that. And it was, nobody would look you in the eye, and there was very little food available, and it was terrible. I sent you over a picture of one of the public restrooms there, just a hole in the ground, and you're standing on encrusted, you know what, squad over a hole. This is what life was like in Poland under communism. And then we drove out through Czechoslovakia, and it was just as bad. And Janet was sick after a week of being there because it was so oppressive, the pressure and just oppression. There's no beauty. There's no art. Everything was ugly. That's what happens when you take freedom away from people. That's what communism does. Then now when we go to take our groups to Poland, Teresa, as you know, it's beautiful. The people are friendly. The Catholic churches are jam-packed full. And the food is everywhere. It's just a beautiful, friendly country. Now everybody looks you in the face and smiles.
And I think it's under freedom, and I think keeping our faith strong, and despite the oppression, the fact that they were able to pray underground and do what they did made all the difference. Steve, thanks so much. Wishing you and Janet a beautiful Advent. Hopefully we'll have you on before Christmas. We'll be right back to wrap up the show in 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby? We heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We hope you'll consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives to those in need. Visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or like us on Facebook.
Pro-Life Across America.
For tuning in to EWTN, your 24/7 Catholic radio network and TV network and online, all that great stuff. EWTN.com for all the information. And don't forget, we have archives of this program if you want to go back and re-listen, or if you want to share it with a friend. You know, this is a great way to evangelize. If you're not comfortable maybe in getting into a discussion with someone, you can just send them an interview. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net to the archive section of any show you desire that we air here on the network. And it'll be there for you. Have a great Thursday, and we will talk to you tomorrow as we already wrap up the first week of Advent. Doug Keck will be with us. Oh, my goodness. There's so many great things coming up in our programming, and he'll fill us in. Have a great Thursday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.